The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. This is Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Live from Circa. How you doing, man?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm great. Good show.
Yeah.
Wes Reynolds will join us. Did he hit another golf feature this weekend or not?
No, I do not believe he was on Joe Highsmith.
I was going to say. He didn't have Alonzo Highsmith to win the golf
tournament? No. That was a very annoying tournament for the Long Shots crew, or I guess I could speak for myself.
Oh, didn't go so well?
I remember our text conversation on Friday. It just continued that. Like, every outright had a chance, but no, not in the end.
Todd Bubba Horwitz will join us. He is a veteran options trader who will join us to talk about sports betting as it relates to trading, how you can become a better bettor. We'll discuss things with Todd next hour. We'll talk first pick in the upcoming NFL draft, which we can now officially say is next month. The moves this weekend in the NFC, Stafford, Debo, we'll get into all that. Carl Sack from Killer Sports to talk NBA, whatever he's playing today. What a luck box win for Carl yesterday. And for those of us who tailed him, did you see this? One of his plays yesterday was the Lakers team total under.
I was wondering what last night. I forgot what number he had gotten it at.
It was 109. I got it at 108.5. The Lakers go into the fourth quarter with, let me do the math here. Boop, 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 boop. I think with, they needed 20 points to go over and for us to get sunk. They end up with 19. Which is just the luck boxiest win of all time. Of course, Fezzik was on it. That's why it happened. So I went ahead and like did the math. I went ahead and researched every quarter of the Lakers play this year. They had played up until the fourth quarter last night, 235 quarters of basketball. They had scored fewer than 20 points in 11 of them, or 4.68% of the time before that 19-point output last night. So we're all winners.
As we have often said, and you say a bunch, Gil, recognize when you're getting the little lucky. And like you said, when Steve Fezzik's on the side, you know you got something going for you.
He really pulled out his most ardent luck boxy, and he dug deep for it, and we got it.
I did text Carl yesterday. I was like, I can't do it again, man, because I was already in lockstep with him on Friday. I know he ended up on the Clippers on Friday. I had hammered the Clippers on Friday. This Lakers team, man, oh boy, it is 6 in a row, 2nd in the Western Conference, and it's I'm not getting in front of them anymore right now, Gil. It is it's impressive what they're doing.
Lakers end up winning that game 108-102, by the way. Did you watch the Oscars at all yesterday?
For, I don't know, 15 minutes when you and I were texting.
And the only reaction,
when it started.
We had the same reaction. The only thing we said, the only thing we texted each other is, good God, Halle Berry's going to be 59 in August.
Yeah, 59.
That's it. 59. That's all we have to say.
Has not aged at all. It is incredible. You know what I had to do, though? You texted me. I kind of forgot they had started, so I flipped it on after you
they
and I were
like
texting. It
started like 4 p.m. our time.
Yeah, but like, you know, it feels like it's 9 hours of red carpet stuff beforehand, right? So I know it's kind of like the Kentucky Derby. You never know exactly when it's going to start because there's so much prelude, so
oh,
much
I thought
stuff
they
going
start
on.
Exactly at 7 p.m. Eastern.
I don't know, you're
p.m.
probably right.
Well, I was sweating out clay in Santiago, clay court tournament.
This was watching NBA.
By the way, congratulations to everybody who tailed on Laszlo Jere.
Oh, nice.
At +330 to win in Santiago in Chile. As we head into Indian Wells, by the way, this week, tennis's de facto fifth major. The draw is today for Indian Wells. I do a half the pod with Drew this afternoon, the other half with Zach tomorrow, then we'll put it in podcast form. Where was I going with that? Oh, the Oscars. So, you know, sweating clay while watching the Oscars. We should do a sports betting Oscars.
Okay.
Like for best achievement in live betting kind of thing, you know, like categories like that.
I mean, we've done like award stuff before.
The nominees are.
Yeah.
And like when Wishnev wins his award for best achievement in live betting, he like shows up on stage with like clothes that he's worn for 6 consecutive days. He's like, thanks. Really appreciate the award.
Hey, that's a true sports better right there. That's
really
right.
Appreciate the award. And he gives them the impassioned speeches they give. He'll be like, I hope that, renounced Orthodox Jews like myself who come after me won't have to pay to watch the Summit League college basketball package. Like that kind of thing. It'd be a very different kind of show.
So one of the other parts of like why I kind of tuned out again, though, I feel like it's becoming more of this every year, but it's like there's too many like intermissions. There's too many like halftime shows, Like, there's always, like, big shows that I just don't care about.
It's a very unwatchable broadcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you're Brian Ortega, and then you like that stuff.
Yeah, and I just, like, that part makes me tune out, and then I turn on Clippers, Lakers, and I forget to turn it back again. Like, that's what happens.
I texted Ortega, because Demi Moore got, she got upset for Best Actress, and I texted him, I'm like, oh, wow, Demi Moore gets screwed. He goes, she did not get screwed. He, like, gets all passionate about it. I'm like, easy. I was just mentioning she was the favorite.
She was
not that big a deal.
She was the favorite. it's an upset.
It's like going all in on me. Mikey Madison deserved it. All right. Every Monday leading up to the tournament, the tournament itself, the big one, March Madness, the big dance, which is now Selection Sunday, 2 weeks away, 13 days away now. We started with the first installment last week, but every Monday morning, first thing, we will update the famous college basketball formula. Have we worked on an intro for this at all? Nothing? No, nothing.
No.
Nothing on college basketball. Okay, great. It's our tried and true college basketball formula. And again, we just update it once every Monday morning when we start the week on the show. Again, the tried and true formula, 6 bits here. Last 34 champs, more assists than turnovers. 32 of the last eventual NCAA champions, 32 of the last 34 had a head coach with prior Sweet 16 experience. 28 of the last, by the way, the exceptions there, Kevin Ollie for the 2014 UConn Huskies and 2023 Dan Hurley with the UConn Huskies as well. 28 of the last 29 champs went into the tournament with at least 3 wins versus teams in the top 10% of RPI. That's how long we've been doing this, that we had RPI as part of this. The only exception, the 2014 UConn Huskies, the Shabazz Napier-led Huskies. Last 29 champs had a top 75 strength of schedule. And then the two KenPom categories. 21 of the last 22 champs were in the top 20 in adjusted offensive efficiency at KenPom, the only exception being the 2014 UConn Huskies. And 21 of the last 22 were in the top 20 in adjusted defensive efficiency. The only exception there, the only non-UConn Huskies exception, the 2021 Baylor Bears, who finished 22nd. So last week, the three current teams that qualified to win it all, based on those criteria, the only three teams that qualified last week, Kelly, were Auburn, Duke, and Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who the teams that qualify this week are?
Ooh, I do not.
Auburn, Duke, and Houston.
I wasn't guessing we were going to have a ton of movement. You got me excited. Good job.
By the way, Auburn plus 340 to win it all. They're the short shot. Duke right behind them at plus 370. Houston at plus 750. Now, once again, Florida, which is fourth on the big board at plus 950, the only thing that is excluding them from consideration here, or from qualification, I should say, is that their head coach, Todd Golden, never coached in a Sweet 16 before. Remember, there's been a couple exceptions to that. Kevin Ollie and Dan Hurley, both of the UConn Huskies. So if Florida is to win it, they will have to be the third exception over 3 decades worth of ball to get to the promised land on that. Some people believe that. Some people believe that Florida is going to get there and that they're the best team. So Florida is excluded on that grounds, and they can't make, obviously he's not coaching a Sweet 16 before. This year's doesn't count. So they can't make up for that, that bullet point in the formula. The three teams that were closest, that were the three teams closest on the outside looking in from Auburn, Duke, and Houston, with Florida being the exception because they have the Sweet 16 disqualifier with the head coach. The three teams last week were Iowa State, just on the outside looking in, 21st adjusted offense on KenPom, 9th adjusted defense on KenPom. So literally one ranking spot in the KenPom adjusted offensive efficiency rankings. Guess what? Iowa State remains 21st and 9th, the closest team on the outside looking in. Big win for Iowa State this weekend as well. The second team last week that was the closest on the outside looking in, right behind Iowa State, Arizona. Arizona remains a KenPom qualifier and everything else. Tommy Lloyd has coached in Sweet 16 before. That was last year. But Arizona remains on the outside looking in because of the RPI qualifier, which is they've only beaten Texas Tech and Iowa State. They lose to Iowa State this weekend. Their only chance before the conference tournament now to make it to the qualifier, to join Auburn, Duke, and Houston, that is they still play Kansas.
Okay.
So Iowa State and Arizona remain the two closest teams on the outside looking into Auburn, Duke, and Houston. The third closest team has changed. That's the one change from last week to this week. which was last week, the team that was in third position in terms of the outside looking in was Michigan State. And Michigan State, despite the buzzer beater win against Maryland, by the way, did you see that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's unbelievable from beyond half court. By the way, this March Madness, I cannot wait. We've already had March Madness quality finishes in that Michigan State-Maryland game. Obviously, Tennessee and Alabama this weekend was also a buzzer beater. How Alabama lost that all in regulation, I have no idea. But Michigan State, despite that win against Maryland, despite their win yesterday, they drop offensive adjusted offensive efficiency on KenPom to 32nd. So while they're spectacular defensively, and you hear a lot of Michigan State love, they're 28-1 to win it all. Mm. They did drop to 32nd in the KenPom adjusted offensive efficiency. The third team replacing Michigan State is Clemson. Clemson right now, which is 17th adjusted offensive efficiency, 24th adjusted defensive efficiency. So they're the third closest on the outside looking in. But that's the only change. The three teams that qualified haven't changed, and the two teams closest remain the same, Iowa State and Arizona, obviously, to the qualifiers, Auburn, Duke, and Houston, with Florida having the strange, you know, one category to themselves where they just can't get over it with the Sweet 16 qualifier.
Do you have any outright bets?
Alabama from almost at the end of last season.
I thought that was true. What number do you have on them?
18-1. 18? I mean, not tremendously better than it is now.
Like, Gil, I think this is, I know they're losing games here, but I'm like kind of okay with it because just keep drifting. I think I'm going to get in on them.
Alabama 37th in adjusted defensive efficiency. Tennessee 27th. In adjusted offensive efficiency, if you're wondering about those two squads. We'll come back. The National Football League and all the transactions this weekend. Our thoughts next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
All the college basketball, all the NFL, don't sleep on baseball. Don't take a swing in the dark. Step up to the plate prepared with VSiN's MLB betting guide. Get expert tips on how to bet baseball, including a stats glossary to help you break down key analytics, dive into awards market analysis for MVP and Cy Young, and gain a player's perspective on evaluating pitchers from former MLB pitcher Jensen Lewis. Also, of course, co-host of By the Books with Dave Ross each and every morning here at VSiN. From advanced metrics to sharp betting angles, the VSiN MLB betting guide is your ultimate playbook for the season. Avoid strikeouts of the sportsbook. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $9.99. And get your copy of the MLB betting guide today. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And big baseball news on this show tomorrow. For those of us who are baseball nerds, and for those who have followed not only this show, but the Beating the Book podcast and Betting Dork before that, because I think he went back all the way to Betting Dork. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe it was just Beating the Book. Joe Pita comes out of baseball retirement tomorrow to talk season wins.
Nice.
Cannot wait for this. Joe, before he wrote his baseball book, Trading Bases, used to have a blog on the Squarespace, tradingbases.squarespace.com, something like that. And he wrote the greatest Major League Baseball season previews in his own kind of numbers way.
Mm.
Where Adam Burke was more volume, Joe's were at just a beautiful, you know, Wall Street inspired angle, I thought. And Joe returns to the show tomorrow, comes out of baseball retirement, hasn't done baseball season win totals in, I want to say, about 5 years. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I think it's like 5 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's awesome. Always great to have Joe on the show. Yeah, awesome that Circus posted these alts this year, too. So we have those to go through and everything. It's awesome, man.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Apparently, Wet Willie Colon and JVT are involved in a little spat. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah, it's very entertaining.
I'm going to skip over
those. Very entertaining.
did JVT back the Lakers irrationally or something? Is that what he's saying? And JVT's like, I didn't.
I mean, I thought he fairly rationally came on here last week and said, hey, I just need to like I'm not pro. Or yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a lot of what I've been saying, which is why I kind of feel bad for JVT.
He's catching your strays.
Yeah, I feel like he's catching my strays. Yeah. I don't believe what they're doing with this defense is what we're going to be able to see throughout the entire run here. Maybe I'm wrong, Gil. This team's looked great, but I think JVT wasn't fully buying in last week. And Wet Willie Colon, who, hey, we love, man. He tweets it all the time.
Yeah.
He always tweets good stuff about us, but apparently JVT had a nerve with the Lakers.
Apparently so. Jeff Cam, Morning, fellas. Best 2 hours of my day. Thank you, Jeff. Can we stop giving 2 hour windows for college basketball games? Replay is horrible the last 2 minutes of a game. Jeff, I could not agree more. This is an epidemic in college basketball. Stuff that should that has no impact on the game, right? No real impact. You know, it's like even games that are out of contention, even spreads that don't matter, they will take 2.5 minutes on some stuff. And you're like, oh, for God's sakes, can we just wrap this up? There was some game last week that had like 3 seconds left in it. And we were totally like, yeah, you guys should totally take 2 minutes reviewing this. It's horrible. Bentley at VT Bentley. Let's go, Laszlo Jerry. My app wasn't offering futures. Their mistake. I rolled 3 money lines for nearly 5-1 at the end. Thanks again. Good for you, Bentley. By the way, if you're a subscriber, VSiN.com/picks, if you're a VSiN subscriber, we also had Jerry in the semis at plus money. We also had Jerry in the finals yesterday at plus money against Sebastian Baez. So we ended up with kind of the same number as well. And this is from Kevin Ryan. Gil tuned in late this morning. Did I miss the 10-minute rant on Debo to the Skins? Yes, the Skins. You did not. But there's no time like the present. Let's start with Debo Samuel. Debo Samuel goes to the Washington Commodores for a fifth round pick. And this is what you do. If you have listened to this show for however long, you have probably heard me say more than once, you can only win Super Bowls one of two ways. One, you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, or two, you have a quarterback on a rookie contract that overperforms so you can pay everybody else big money and surround him, a la Russell Wilson with the Seahawks, for instance, right? This is what Washington should be doing. Now, we can quibble, right? Some people are going to say, well, Debo wasn't any good last year. He's always hurt. You know, this is bad. This isn't the guy. Well, you know, in Adam Peters, we trust. Adam Peters, who came from San Francisco, so obviously already knows Debo better than everybody. This is a guy that he felt would be a great wide receiver too, complementing the great incomparable Terry McLaurin. Perfect in Cliff Kingsbury's offense is the angle here. As George Kittle said, who pictured there on the screen there briefly, you can't replace Debo. You can't. He brings a specific set of skills to every, it sounds like Liam Neeson, to each offense. And Adam Peters, the GM, and Cliff Kingsbury, obviously the OC, they feel like this is a perfect fit. And I just want to say this about Adam Peters. It is so great. I'll say this about being a Washington fan. It is so great being a fan of a team that finally has a GM that is making prudent moves in terms of what they're giving up. I get it. Debo has a $17.5 million hit on the salary cap, but you have the space,
right?
This team has the space to do it. So do it. And this is the guy they decided they wanted to go after, but they only gave up a fifth. Only. Let's just sort of give a comparison. The Cowboys gave up a fourth. Yes, I know they got a seventh back, but they gave up a fourth for Jonathan Mingo.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Peters himself. And I know they traded also in addition. I want to get the details of this exactly correct. But Philadelphia traded a third, right? What was it? The Eagles, when they added Jahan Dotson, right? Former first round pick of a previous administration in Washington. Washington got they sent Washington a third and 2/7. Washington traded them Dotson and a fifth, I believe it was.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So, but Washington, so Peters got a third for Dotson, traded a fifth for Debo with all of those other qualifications, all those qualifiers that I just mentioned. But regardless of your quibbling on the details of all of those, generally speaking, we now have Washington now has a GM that makes prudent deals. There are so many franchises, and Washington was one of them for a quarter century that was always making stupid trades like the Jerry Jones. Here's a fourth rounder for Jonathan Mingo kind of thing. So I think that was awesome, too. From a 49ers perspective, it's clearly we need money to pay Brock Purdy. So here's the first guy out of here. If there's anybody else, but we had to clear some space for Brock Purdy. And I love it for Washington. I get it for San Francisco. But you can't tell me that's not worth the shot. Even if Debo ends up being the biggest bust of all of it, you still go for it. This is their year. This is their window now. You got to make that trade.
It's a home run move. It's a home run move, which you can't, like, you, it, it's, Usually you can't say that about deals because you want to see what the end result is with said player, but it's a home run move because of everything you just said. You've got the cap space to do it. At worst case scenario, it doesn't work out and you're missing out on a fifth round pick. The upside that you're gambling on here is completing a team, like you've talked about, Jaden Daniels, star young quarterback on a rookie deal, and you are surrounding him with a bunch of potential great talent.
Yeah, I love Eagles fans. They're like, what are you talking about? John Dotson almost scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Shut up. Enjoy your Super Bowl.
It's funny, that one's almost tougher. Like Jonathan Mingo one, I guess I could sit here and say, well, we don't know it's terrible yet. Because, I guess we haven't really seen it in play much with the team, but...
Anyway, Washington 9-1 to win the NFC, double that to win the Super Bowl. They are the fifth shot on the board. The defending champion Eagles are the short shot, followed by the Lions. Oh, excuse me, this is to win the NFC.
Yeah.
The Commanders are the fifth shot on the board. Eagles, the short shot, followed by the Lions, Niners, and Packers. Well, Packers and Commanders, same number. So tied for fourth short shot is Washington at DraftKings to win the NFC. I'm going to say that's a little long on Washington to win the NFC. I really do think the Eagles and Washington are going to be in this mano a mano in the NFC East for a long time now. Very long time. Now, of course, all of us in Washington were joking. As soon as everybody was thrilled about getting Debo, the next sentence was, now watch the Eagles get Myles Garrett.
It's right, yeah.
Now watch the Eagles get Myles Garrett. The other big move, of course, we spent a week with the Matthew Stafford drama wasting our time.
And
as soon as the show ended, right, it's like, oh, guess what? The Rams are re-signing Matthew Stafford, as they should. They'd be so much better with Matthew Stafford. Remember, I said last week, I'm like, there's no football person in the Rams organization who thinks they'd be better off with, say, Aaron Rodgers than Matthew Stafford. It was just maybe they just couldn't come to terms. Well, they did. And I mentioned Kelly Stafford last week. I'm sure she had a lot to do with this, and reports confirm that she did. And so the Rams remain with Stafford. They're right behind Washington, by the way, to win the NFC in terms of the odds at 13-1. Great for the Rams. Where does Aaron Rodgers end up now?
I got no idea.
Oh, by the way,
I think it's going to be so tough.
All these rumors about the Giants, forget about it. Because there were also simultaneous rumors, and we'll get to the number one pick here in a couple segments, but there was also rumors about the Giants trying to trade up to get number one.
Yep.
I think that's way more likely than the Giants. Why would the Giants want Aaron Rodgers?
I have no idea.
What does that do for them?
Do we know that Aaron Rodgers even wants to go there? Like, the Aaron Rodgers stuff is so tough because of that.
Felica even mentioned a very New York-focused comment about that, where she goes, there's no way the Mara family is going to take the Jets seconds.
Mm, yeah.
Used the word before seconds, but you get the idea. Carl Sack on the NBA next. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game.
Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's Edge Boost. Dot bet. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, everybody, live from Circa. How you doing?
What's going on? I'm doing great.
I was talking to people, not really to you at that
point. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they're doing okay.
Yeah, I'm sure you're great.
It's Monday.
It is Monday. Well, Monday's not great. College basketball tourneys, by the way, this week. Yesterday began. The Atlantic Sun had a couple games yesterday. It's March, baby. We're finally here. The Atlantic Sun started yesterday. Today, nothing starts. Tomorrow, it's the Horizon League, the Patriot League, and the Sun Belt. Then on Wednesday, it's the Big South, the Northeast, Ohio Valley, and Summit League. Thursday, Missouri Valley, West Coast Conference, which is right here at the Orleans, the lovely Orleans Hotel Arena. And then Thursday, Colonial Athletic, Southern, America East Big Sky this weekend. And then, of course, next week, all the big conferences. Can't wait.
Nobody this week at the glorious Dollar Loan Center or whatever it's
called now? That's a good question. I think that's next week, because that's the Big West, I believe.
Mm, I think you're right.
I think that's next week. That's the same day where all, like, the Big Ten and the Big East of the world I'll start theirs. We will get some college basketball thoughts from Wes Reynolds a little later on. Maybe he has some futures plays in some of these tourneys. First, though, the NBA with our buddy Carl Sack. You may know him from days gone by as the NBA guru with Dr. Bob. Now you can find all his stuff at killersports.com and killercappers.com. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Carl?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I was just saying off air, and I said earlier on the show, were you watching your Lakers team total under get home with 19 fourth quarter points last night?
I was. I saw that missed free throw with about 3 seconds left, too. That helped.
Yes, it did. For those of us who had 108 and a half and couldn't get the 109, which would have been a push, that helped tremendously. That was a huge swing. We have to recognize when it goes our way sometimes and, be honest about those and recognize also that the bad beats don't necessarily outnumber them sometimes. But if you're good, I always say this because people say, oh, these things even out. No, I disagree. I think if you're good at a sport, most of them actually go against you, the close ones, because you're usually winning with margin. Do you agree with that?
I think that's a really fascinating debate mathematically. I will take 500 in those coin flip games personally. I find that the years that I do, have a down year, it's because I lost a ton of those close games. But that's an interesting debate to have.
Okay, it sounds like you do. It sounds like you're on the fence on that. I get it. Okay, let me talk about some stuff going on here tonight. Houston and OKC. We're looking at five guys on Houston listed as questionable.
Yay.
What up with that? And is that a portent of things to come with the Rockets down the stretch, do you think?
So they ruled Van Vliet out yesterday, and then all of a sudden five got, Eason, Şengün, Thompson, Brooks, Adams all pop up. I suspect that with them playing in Indiana tomorrow in an earlier game, relative to tonight's game, that they may just punt on this and just sit everybody practically. And, cause they're in OKC tonight, and I know like OKC is on a back to back, but they're about 10 point dogs. And, this is a tough one. I've got some angles and situations that point towards Houston in this game, but, I've got a feeling that we're going to see some more come down the injury line here later today.
The reason I ask that is because if you look at the NBA standings, right, and you even mentioned this before the show, Thunder are, number one with a bullet, 10 games ahead in the loss column, right?
Yeah.
2 through 5 in the West, with the Lakers being 2 and the Rockets being 5, are separated by 2 games in the loss column. So 1.5 games total, to be exact. And then 6 through 10, which of course gets you through the play-in teams, 6 through 10 is separated by a grand total of 0.5 game. Half.
Yeah.
That's it. Talking Clippers, Dubs, T-Wolves, Kings, and Mavericks. So if you're the Rockets, I guess because you're in the 5 slot and you have a bit of cushion, right, a bit, meaning a lot, between now and the end of the season, 5 games in the loss column, you could conceivably play it cleverly.
Yeah. I think that there's a calculated increasing your chances of winning tomorrow and kind of punting tonight might make more sense than trying to get both and ultimately ended up getting neither.
Carl, where are you at right now? Houston, just in general, this is a team we were all pretty high on earlier in the season. I think my expectations have come down a little bit with how far I think this team can go out West. The other one I'll throw at you too then is the Lakers and how you're viewing them right now with this 6 straight wins. How sustainable is this defensive play? I've got questions, but man, they have looked impressive so far.
So as far as Houston goes, I was really high on them and they were looking good, but I think that's part of their recent slump has correlated with Van Vliet being out. So I'm still decently high on them. As far as the Lakers go, I think an underrated move that they made was trading Russell for Finney-Smith. Finney-Smith has been fantastic for them. He brings a level of defense that Russell definitely did not. And then they got Vanderbilt back, which is a nice little bench piece. He's a good defender. They're playing really well. And I don't necessarily think it's a fluke.
Is there a team or teams that generally on a night-to-night basis, when you see the market price on them, if you will, that you sort of nightly have rated higher or lower than the general market consensus?
Recently, I think that the market's been a little, I mean, it's been this way all season, but recently still, Phoenix and Philly, I think, are overrated in the market. I think there's definitely been a number of games lately where I thought Golden State was underrated in the market, although that might be catching up to them here. I'm going to see how the injuries shake out on today's game, with Charlotte, but because that line has caught up. And I would say Boston is a team that I think, you know, you got to pick your spots with them. Sometimes, when they're like yesterday's game, I thought that they were underrated. They're coming off of a loss. They're playing a Denver team that they had lost to twice last year. So I expected them to be focused, but also in games where they're coming off of wins, they're just awful against the spread, and they've been awful against the spread as double digit favorites too. So it's kind of situational, I guess.
A math guy like yourself, when they're beating Cleveland 25-3 and it's sort of this big brother, little brother thing, and they come back, Cleveland does, and beats the Celtics. Do you read anything extra into that? Or are you so sort of agnostic on this that it just doesn't penetrate your thinking on anything?
In terms of like how I'm adjusting my numbers, my base power numbers, no, I don't think it changes anything. I really just, for the most part, look at the final score. But in terms of how that game is going to stick in Boston's mind, I think it's stings. It's a little embarrassing. And I think that next time they play, it'll be on their minds.
We have a 254, if I'm not mistaken, tonight between the Hawks and the Grizzlies. This has got to be the highest total of the year, right?
It is, yeah. I think the highest one coming into tonight was 250. And my numbers actually make this a little bit higher than the 254 that it's wow. at, although Morant is questionable, so that could impact things a little bit. But Memphis has pushed things all year. These two teams have the fastest pace in the league, and Memphis is the fastest. And then since the All-Star break, since the start of the year, they still both have been the fastest team. So they've continued to push. And like I said, even with Morant out, they will still, both these teams are still going to run.
What did you land on tonight, or what are you close to landing on? What are you looking for?
You know, to be honest, I need some of these injuries to shake out. I'm not wild about this card. Normally I'll have a number of bets on the overnight lines and have some good positions that I like at this point, but I'm not wild about anything, to be honest. I think the Sacramento under is worth a look right now with Sabonis out. And Dallas has struggled to find offense now that Luka's gone, and then Gafford and Lively have left a pretty big hole at the center of their team. Powell came back and he slows things down a little bit, but I think maybe that's worth a look towards the under at 230. What is it? 232 ish right now. Something like that.
All right. 231.5 is where we have it right now. Not an official play though. Carl, still trying to determine that. And again, killersports.com is where you can find killersports.com, and then killercappers.com. The latter is where you can find all of his plays. Carl, appreciate it as always.
Thanks for having me on, Gil.
You got it. Carl Sack, everybody, a man who moves NBA lines when he releases his plays, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. We'll come back to the National Football League. Thoughts on the number one pick. Where does this stand now? It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Take your betting to a whole nother level with First Bet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or the road to the Kentucky Derby in Preakness, First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And use promo code VSIN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Jack in a Prius 2.0. Can we talk about the mindless foul with 0.1 seconds left before halftime of the St. John's game that put the first half over 62.5?
Oof.
Hashtag bad beat. Oh, there's so many of these. If you watch college basketball enough, you will run into these. That was particularly bad.
That's rough. The other, like, when you, Carl said it last segment, but the missed free throw helping him out too. I'm like, missed free throws in the NBA versus missed free throws in college basketball are not the same thing.
There was a, no, they are not. There was a, what was a over? We had an over yesterday. I want to say it was LIU. Don't hold me to that. No, that was the other day. There was some game yesterday where we had an over that needed like 5 points in the last 4 minutes and didn't get there.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just impossible. So as impossible a win that Carl's was, that was as impossible a loss. I mean, if you do this enough, if you're betting, you know, double-digit games or double-digit bets a day, you will inevitably run into these.
In college basketball, man, you'll see everything in that sport.
Oh, like, everything.
In a season.
Everything. Like, you know, just a missed free throw parade.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I mean, you'll see it all.
How did Alabama lose that game in regulation? It was like missed free throw, foul again, 5 second violation, Tennessee buzzer beater. We were dissecting the last 3.8 seconds of that game, by the way. Did the clock start a little late? Did the shot get off? The shot definitely got off with 0.1 seconds left on the clock. Tennessee's buzzer beater to beat Alabama. Alabama in a murderer's row here to finish the regular season. And maybe the clock started a little late, but like human beings can't like physically start it any faster than that. So I don't think there was anything wrong with it. New Jersey, New York. I'm going to explain the Giants rumors as simply as possible, he says. John Mara in his Black Monday presser said the roster is not better now than when the regime came in. Quarterback is the number one priority, and he had better be happier at the end of next season. Oh, I remember that from Hard Knocks. Shane and Daboll are very desperate. Well,
yeah.
Yes, they are. But what does Aaron Rodgers do for you? Seriously. Moneyline Marv. I was hoping your take on the Debo trade was, I'm just happy we have a GM that isn't just signing, drafting Alabama defensive players anymore. Yes, that too. As a matter of fact, Jonathan Allen might be on the way out. Speaking of that, Nathan Henry, Rodgers is going to Minnesota, only team that makes perfect sense unless the Niners bail on Purdy, which the Niners are not going to do. And I mentioned that last week, that it does feel like Minnesota, strangely, in a Brett Favre mm-hmm. kind of way, right? You know, legendary Green Bay quarterback somehow ends up in their arch rival's uniform. That's kind of the only team that makes a little sense to me.
There's very few. I'm with you. Like, they're one of them, but there are very few to me.
I have a better idea. Just take your toys and go home and retire.
I think that's way more live than other people do, apparently.
Let's go away. The numbers guys, man, Michigan State going the wrong way in KenPom offensive efficiency. That'll make you shake your head. They went through a murderer's row in February and March. I'm not sure how to calculate that, but I'll say this. Big Ten might be overrated, but Michigan State is definitely its best. I'm with you, the numbers guys. I know that the formula is harsh on them. But man, you can't say a bad word about Izzo's team right now. What is it? What's a January, February Izzo? That's the expression. That is a scrappy little team. I just don't know if they have enough offense. Because again, March Madness, a six-game gauntlet, right? You got to get through six. That's what we were talking about Alabama off air.
Yeah.
Well, Alabama could conceivably shoot you to a title, but they got to do it six times in a row.
Right. I think I'm going to bet him, Gil. Like, I don't have a problem with these losses here. I think I'm going to be joining you on that because of that, just the variance. You get in the tournament, you have a hot shooting streak in a few games.
No.
You're looking pretty good.
The real Joby. Will there be an Indian Wells betting preview podcast this week to set the stage for tennis's de facto fifth major? Yes. Thank you for using my language. Yes. Again, the draw comes out today. This is such a quick turnaround because the draw is this afternoon, I think 3 p.m. Pacific. The tournament starts on Wednesday. So Drew Dinsick is actually getting off the ski slopes. This is a true story. Coming off the ski slopes to do the first half of the pod with me. And then Zach Cohen will do the second half tomorrow morning. I think the Zach Cohen part will be on Twitter Live. We'll put them together. We'll have a podcast for you tomorrow. A full less than 24 hours before the actual tournament starts. But yes, can't wait. And I'm going on Friday. I'm so excited, Kelly.
I was just going to ask you. It's this weekend, right? Yeah, you're going?
The second the show leaves on Friday. My mind will be there.
You driving out there? How long is that drive?
I drove there 2 years ago through the desert. Maybe the most irresponsible thing I've ever done in my life. I'll take a flight this time. Yeah.
Wait, why? Because your car situation?
Because my car is an electric car. And if the battery somehow goes out in the middle, and by the way, you see the battery thing, like all of a sudden jump down in the middle of the desert. Like, oh my God.
You have a heart attack. Yeah.
Because if you get stalled out there, it's like you're done for. done for, because it is total desert.
Yeah, yep.
You have no idea how remote.
So what's the alternative then?
From Vegas to Palm Springs, the alternative is, because you have three routes and they're all through the desert in some form. The alternative is I fly to Phoenix and then to Palm Springs. It's too close for a direct flight.
Oh my gosh, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing?
That's what I'm doing.
You're going
this
to Phoenix?
Year. And then once having done both of them, I'll decide awesome. What I'll do in the future.
You're going to pick up Zach Cohen on your way?
Yeah, I'll pick up Zach.
Meet me at the airport, Zach.
Oh, is he in Phoenix?
Yeah, he lives right outside Phoenix.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from now NFL Combine. This is from Lindsay Rhodes. Lindsay Rhodes, one of the many who attended the NFL Combine. She works at Sumer Sports, which is where our buddy Eric Eager used to work. At Sumer Sports, you should be on the NFL Network as well. She said, as I leave Indy, a thread of my takeaways, and the first couple of her takeaways are this. Cam Ward is more highly regarded than I previously thought. People I talked to rattled off comfortably quite a few things they liked about him as a prospect. I would not be surprised if he went number one. She went on to say, too, I think the gap between Ward and Shedeur Sanders is bigger than it's being described. A chasm, according to Mike Renner, our buddy, called it. He thinks Sanders is closer to Dart than he is to Ward. I didn't talk to anyone who had Sanders as their QB1. And everyone, in quotes, I talked to about why he might go in the top five, talking about Sanders now, mentioned quarterback needy teams as the top reason. That feels like poor process to me. Risky. I wouldn't be surprised if he went later than expected. So that's an interesting take. And I think a relatively consensus, just anecdotally, what you've sort of taken in from people at the Combine. Now, getting to, okay, so does that make you want to bet Cam Ward at number one? I got to tell you, man, it does not. I have no real sense of this draft. Because is Tennessee really not going to take a quarterback?
I think they will. I actually made a bet.
You did? What did
you bet? I made a bet, first overall, Cam Ward.
What was your price?
Minus 190.
You took it.
And I was maxed out at the shop in town that posted this at a total of $30, Gil.
$30.
So I have a $30 bet.
Hey, look, don't sell yourself short. Those were 30 United States dollars. Cam Ward now minus 200 at DraftKings and FanDuel, minus 210 at MGM to go number one. Abdul Carter from Penn State is second on the list at plus 180 in a couple of those spots, plus 185 in a third. And then it's Travis Hunter, followed by Shedeur, followed by Jackson Dart, who's way longer than the rest of them. I just don't... Have you seen Cam Ward play football?
Yeah.
Okay. He is not exactly, how can I put this, a quick processor of information. I don't think Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, I'm just going to say right now, I don't think they're going to be great. And as we look back on Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix, they both played college football forever at two big-time programs. Mm-hmm. That is the one thing those two guys had in common. And that's going to be more of a rule moving forward, right, with the transfer portal, as our football lives progress. I just don't think Ward or Sanders is going to be great. I could very well be wrong, right? That's my impression. But does that still mean that teams won't desperately try to overdraft a quarterback? Of course not, because you're nothing without a quarterback. The question becomes, will someone just send to the Titans an offer? Like, if the Titans don't care about drafting a quarterback, which seems like the consensus right now, which I don't get, because what, you're going to go to in a season and you still don't have a quarterback? Okay, and they want to draft Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter? Great. But then what's a better bet? Is a better bet to bet at how you did, that Cam Ward minus 190, now minus 200 to go number one? Or is it better to take a flyer on a team like the Giants to trade up, where you can still get, I think, very short plus money to go number one?
You didn't
want to risk it.
I hear you. I know Michael Montesano made that bet, right? Yeah. Late last week. Great on him.
He got it at like five to one.
Yeah. Now, there's signal kind of pointing that the Giants might try to make that move. I think for me, it got to the point, Gil, of regardless, Tennessee's quarterback needy and the demand out there from these teams to just need a quarterback. Whether it's a trade or not, I think it ends up being Cam Ward at this point that goes number one.
This is not nearly as fun, and I know it didn't work out, but like the year that C.J. Stroud, like I was convinced C.J. Stroud was going number one. Surely Carolina's trading up to draft C.J. Stroud. Maybe I'm better off not having conviction. because that obviously led to ruin.
And maybe it's Carter. Like, look, even if I could have bet it bigger, which I would have liked to, I still wouldn't be a massive bet for me at this point because there's still a lot of questions out there.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Draft more than a month away, but we could say now next month. Wes Reynolds on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.